meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Somebody can hear me very clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask question, or C for comments. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So, item one, apologies.
Declan Murphy, Una McGuinness, Roisin Howell, Jim Brennan and Kate Murphy.
Marie Ward and Josephine Kelly. Okay. Is that all our apologies? So I'll go on to Chairperson's remarks. With just a few items. I would like to extend my sincere sympathy to the family, friends and colleagues of the late former councillor John McArdle. John played an important role representing his constituents for quite a few years, and I would like to place on record my gratitude for his contribution to local politics. Also remembering Elaine Coffey, one of our business support officers from our Downpatrick office, who sadly passed away a few weeks ago. Good luck to all those who have travelled to Mullingar this weekend to compete in the various competitions at the FLA Ceoil na hÉireann. Many hours of practice have been put in to get to this stage, and it's a credit to all those who are competing in solo, duet, trio, group and ceilidh band competitions. Special mention to members of the Avnan and Lagan, Kaylee Band, Aisling Fagan, Kira Maguire, Niamh Howell and Rory Howell. The senior Kaylee Band competition is the highlight of the FLA week, and this prestigious competition is a sellout every year. Add more to those from our district taking part. Congratulations to Evie Keown from Castlewellan, who won 3 gold medals in the Westfield Transplant Games in Coventry last month. Evie spent the first 24 months of her life in hospital, but underwent a heart transplant in November 2019 and has never looked back. Evie will now start Primary 1 in September and is an inspiration to many with sporting achievements and her love of life. Councillor Hannah, you're looking to come in.
Thank you, Chair. I spoke to you just before the meeting there and said that I was possibly, if your agreement there, welcome and congratulate Royal County Downs on their successful achievement of winning the Eyes Open Golf Tournament, so it is for 2024, so it is. And to host it there is a massive achievement and it's been a massive effort for them. So, well, Royal County Down is a blue ribbon links golf course that is world class. It's a massive employer in our area, so it is. And even at the last planning committee, so it was, it pretty much got the green light there to go ahead, so it did, with the £2 million investment, so it did in the Newcastle area. So, in saying that there, we were going to bring an emergency notice of motion there, but with your agreement there, you've agreed to let me just say a few words here. I'm not going to speak very long. Just on the Royal County Down and the Irish Open, it will be a massive economic benefit to the area. So it will showcase South Down and the council area in particular. So and what I'm looking to do is I would like to propose there that possibly a small group be organised from the Moorings or the Moorings DEA councillors there to sort of support the officers in planning for this key event in the future. And hopefully there's some records of the last time it was, I think it was in 2016 that it was in South Down, so it was a massive success the last time round, so it was a massive success. And feedback at the time, so it was even the very big stars there that play the golf, they really enjoyed coming to South Down, so they did. The golf course is an excellent one, so it is. Along the coast there, all we need is good weather. Just, I hope lessons have been learned. I'm sure it'll be Connor, it'll be sort of dealing with that there. And I'd just like to propose there that events supporting this, funding this, and a small group to set up, sort of be car park, lessons to be learned there from anything else there. I'm just hoping there all that can be done. So I'm proposing that, Chair. Thank you.
Glenn, have you got a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair.
To come in, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. It's happy to second it. It's a good proposal, Glenn. There's good opportunities from the Irish Open. I'm delighted to see the Irish Open returning to my hometown, Newcastle. I suppose it's about creating that legacy of the event. It's not that event on the, you know, over that weekend. It's about follow-up visitors coming to the district, people who've experienced it either through TV or they've experienced it by actually going to the course. It's about getting them people to revisit there, right, not just Newcastle, right throughout the whole Newry Moreland Down and Gullion area. Just to say, there was a Department of Communities grant the last time. I remember there was a sizable pot of money to enhance the town, you know, to look at older buildings that maybe needed painted and stuff like that. And we put extra bins in. That's when the Ballybusters, so-called, came into operation in Newcastle. They came in as a pilot. So there's opportunities to do things like that and maybe look at areas that has become tired within the town and maybe enhance the MRAs also. But there's an increase in golfing in Newcastle, and they're supporting the local businesses. We see it daily now that this is, you know, a high spend sector who are spending in our local community. One criticism from the last time was that visitors who went to the Irish Open then couldn't get back out and go up the street. Whether we can look at that, you know, is there an opportunity to allow people to take time out of the course? But also maybe people who have travelled with them maybe aren't really interested in golf. It's about maybe putting on an event in the town centre with like a bit of music, bit of food, and having the big screen so people can view it from. People can view the golf tournament from the town centre. It's about creating an atmosphere in the town centre so businesses get a turn as well. Now, not every business is going to. A lot of people get put off from coming into Newcastle when there's an event on. So, you know, hardware and paint shops and the likes aren't going to make, you know, a lot of money out of that. But when hotels are doing up their premises and stuff, you know, they're buying local paint, they're buying electrical goods, TVs and stuff for rooms and stuff. So there is a spin-off. So there are the type of things that work with the local Newcastle Chamber of Commerce, look at, you know, a window display competition, that type of stuff, just to create a bit of buzz in the atmosphere in the town centre. So happy enough to second, actually.
Everybody in agreement? Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, Chair, just the same point before we move on in terms of welcoming the golf to Newcastle. It's just a massive accolade for the town and for our tourism product. I know that Willie had mentioned there some of the businesses the last time. People were allowed in and out the last time. That was something that didn't happen in Portrush. It did happen in Newcastle, but it actually, I think, could do, Willie, you're right, it could do with being publicised more to get the people sort of back out and down the town. And definitely the hospitality businesses in Newcastle really did benefit greatly from that. I know some of the other traders, maybe not so much so, but I think there is the bigger picture in terms of that repeat visitor and return person in the spotlight. There were some amazing scenes broadcast right around the world of the golf courses and the beaches and that type of promotion. It's money can't really buy, but I suppose really, really good. We've got a new re-energised Chamber of Commerce set up in recent months in Newcastle. I know the last time, I think hopefully again, they'll be fully involved in all consultation in the run for the golf, and that will filter down to local businesses as well. I think the message needs to go out. People were worried the last time about the traffic flow around the town. The traffic flow was brilliant. It was really well managed the last time. So I think if that message gets out to people, people won't put off coming to the butchers or the hairdressers or whatever else in Newcastle, which is all very important to the local economy as well. But thanks to Glenn for raising that. Really good news for town. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Laura. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Apologies, I was a wee bit late coming in there. I'm just referring to the comments in relation to the late Councillor John McArdle. As you know, I've been very close to John, and I just didn't want this evening to go past without reflecting the views of a lot of the people I represent and John represented from 2001 to 2015 on Uri and Moran Council. John was a man of huge integrity, of huge faith, a great friend and a great colleague, and somebody that we and our own party will greatly miss. But I know that the people of Uri, particularly those that he nursed as a very diligent and hard-working and compassionate nurse in Daisy Hill, will miss him greatly. He was a devout member of both the Dominican and the Drumalane parishes, and you know, he'd be sadly missed in the local community, and he's somebody that certainly I and others can only aspire to live up to the standards that he held as a political representative, and somebody who we all across our own party and throughout the community will sadly miss. And it's just, he was a former mayor of Newry Mourn Council and somebody who was held in very high esteem. And we want to pass on our condolences to his wife Patricia, sons Kieran and Cahill, and the wider McArdle family circle. And I just wanted to mention that tonight, Chair, and thanks for letting me in. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Item 2, declarations of interest.
None.
Item 3, the action sheet arising from a council meeting held on the 3rd of July 2023. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Hannah. Councillor Andrews, second.
Chair,
Councillor Andrews wants to make a comment.
Yes, with your permission, will it be possible to speak on correspondence, items 9 and items 12, when we reach out an agenda, if that would be permissible, Chair?
At the time, yeah.
Thanks, Valerie. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Hannah. Hannah, are you second?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any matters arising? No. Item 4, minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of July 2023. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Hanlon. Any matters arising?
Yes.
Councillor Shorten.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. And it was on the action sheet, but given I raised it at the council meeting, it's in reference to the Mount Crescent item that I raised under the PCSP item at the time, Chair. And I do understand that the council officers did remove particular items with assistance from the police service and those that live in the area to remove some of the material. But significant damage has been experienced at the car park. If you were to visit it, there's actually like a massive crater in the middle of the council car park where damage has occurred. Obviously, I would ask that we do repair that, but it would be useful to have this item sent to the Downpatrick DEA forum for discussion of how we prevent this happening next year.
I just would agree with Councillor Sharvin's comments, and just a note, obviously the ratification of PCSP won't go through until AHC, but it was brought up in that forum as well, and that more work will be done earlier in the year this year through the bonfire subgroup to try and manage it better going forward. So I would second your proposal, Gareth, if need be.
Thank you. Item 5, minutes of the special council meeting held on the 3rd of July 2023. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Clark? Councillor Andrews?
Yeah.
Any matters arising? Oh, you weren't there, Councillor Andrews? Councillor Hanlon? Any matters arising? Item 6, minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 4th of July 2023. A proposer and seconder, please. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Second by Councillor Sharvin. Any matters arising? We also need a proposer and seconder for the Audit Committee annual report. So if we could have a proposer, please. Councillor Hanlon. Seconder. Councillor Sharvin. Item 7 is the minutes of the Special Strategy Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 24th of July 2023. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please?
Proposed.
Councillor McAteer. And Councillor McAvoy to second. Any matters arising? Item 8 is the planning section. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Hannah. And seconded by Councillor Campbell. Any matters arising? Item 9 is the email response from the NIO notice of motion C075-2023, the reduction in minimum voting age. Councillor Andrew, are you looking to comment on this one?
I'm indeed, Chair. Thank you very much. Firstly, I'm sorry that I wasn't able to make it to the meeting of Council in July. And I'd like to thank those councillors who spoke in the chamber that evening in favour of the voting age being reduced to 16 years of age, similar to their counterparts in Scotland and Wales. We have all heard of one-liners in various guises, but in my opinion, this one-liner is a slap in the face to our young people who are going to be the potential voters of tomorrow, sorry, in the not-too-distant future. Over at Thiepval, I had the pleasure of introducing myself to the Minister of State at the NIO, Steve Baker, and I imagine that I was the author of a motion calling for the voting age to be reduced to 16 from Newry Morning down District Council. disappointed at the response, and I told them that another letter would be forthcoming saying how disappointed we were and asked for proposals to be reconsidered. With the indulgence of the council and its members, I'd like to propose that we write to all the political parties, you know, Conservative, Labour, the Lib Dems, Greens and the Welsh and Scottish, our parties represented here in council, and the seeking the support of our independents. To do this, do the same, and also copying in the 10 other councils here in Northern Ireland, write to all concerned parties, calling for their commitment to reduce the vote needs to 16, and relating to the response from the Minister at the Scottish Parliament, I propose we write a letter of thanks, welcoming the support in our endeavours to reduce the age to 16 of voting. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Could we have a proposer and seconder?
So proposed, Chair.
Right, so seconded by Councillor. Yeah. And Councillor Hanlon, second. Sorry, on. Councillor Quinn will second it. Item 10 is the response from the Permanent Secretary reading a notice of motion C-084-2023, the fixed bridge design for Newry Southern Relief Road. Councillor Savage, you wish to comment?
Yes, Chair. Like obviously, like others who, like other members in this chamber who have supported the campaign to secure a lifting bridge to allow tall ships to enter the Albert Basin and obviously protect the long-term future viability of opening up what was the oldest navigational canal in Newry. The sentiments from the Permanent Secretary are disappointing. That said, I thought there would have been more conducive discussion taking place at a time when we hear from permanent secretaries that there's nothing but problems with budgets, that when a potential budget arm that could be available through the Shared Island unit and the Shared Island Fund has not been explored or isn't, quote in the letter, a matter for the Irish government. I know it's a matter for the Irish government, but we would have thought that there would have been more willingness to collaborate across the island in relation to major infrastructure projects that will link a major port from and traffic from GB and haulage traffic from GB to the North-South Economic Corridor onto the A1, M1 route between Dublin and Belfast. Just on that, I believe that DFI are planning to meet with us in the coming weeks to outline more detail in relation to this from an engineering perspective. But the bottom line is that this is about more than engineering and more than budgets. I understand that the economic appraisal element of this would have been very difficult to stand up for anybody, any minister, regardless who they were. But what value do you put on future potential for tourism development, which is one of our key economic drivers within council? That's a question that I don't think any permanent secretary or anybody counting the beans would be able to give a valuation on. That said, I firmly believe that there is an opportunity before we go down this route of a fixed bridge that it appears DFI are determined to do, that we exhaust the opportunities with the Shared Island Unit. So I would therefore ask as well, I've spoken I've been in contact with Conor Mullen, and Conor hasn't yet to receive a response, I believe, from the Taoiseach's office in relation to engagement with the Shared Island Unit. So what I would ask would be that alongside the meeting with DFI, that we invite the Shared Island Unit to come to council to discuss the possibilities in relation to how they can potentially provide funding for gap funding for projects of a mutual infrastructure nature on this island, and potentially give us an update as well on Narrow Water Bridge. At least they had the foresight to have a lifting element to that bridge whenever the design was put together in it. But you know, the overall concern I have is that this is disappointing. It's so matter of fact in its response, and I believe that we need to continue to push and exhaust all options until such times as all options are exhausted, that we just don't rubber stamp and say yes to a fixed bridge because it suits people in the civil service to just get it processed and through and over the line. I know that there's an urgency in this in relation to Warren Point Port. I understand that. But if we're going to do this, we need to do it right.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor King?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And just to make a quick comment, when I do acknowledge the permanent secretary's response to last month's motion, it was positive to see more so the recent correspondence circulated earlier today that the EFI will now meet and engage with councillors where they will hear the people's concerns. And this is what Sinn Féin called for and wanted from the start with the support of other councillors. So I welcome this recent development and look forward to the future meeting. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I would just like to mention, last week it was really pleasing to see that there were a number of tall ships and other vessels actually came up into the Albert Basin, and it was really wonderful to see, particularly in terms of tourism, because I met a lot of people while I was down at the event who said actually this is something that they would like to see more of. And I think if we look at putting a fixed bridge in there, it absolutely destroys any future tourism that we will get from our wonderful historic canal that is one of the most historic that we have in Europe. So I would like to put on record that, again, myself and my other colleagues have been opposed to any form of lifting bridge, and that we look towards exploring, instead of a particularly financial aspect, that we look towards actually seeing what impact that a lifting bridge would have on tourism for the area, and that there is an assessment done on that moving forward.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Before we go any further, we need a seconder for Councillor Savage's proposal, please. Proposed by Councillor King. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I read the response from the Permanent Secretary, and at the same time, all Michael Savage in this council is probably doing is actually delaying the massive economic impact that the Southern Relief Road would have up to this area. So it is, number one, there's a complete redesign of the bridge has to be done, so there is. There's substantially more money to be spent, so there is. And big thing is, it's going to delay everything, so it is. It could possibly delay this year by another 2 to 3 years, so it could, because there's so many things that has to be overcome, and it far outweighs getting the Southern Relief Road into place, so it is, should be for Warren Point Harbour, and this whole region, so it is, that road needs to be, that Southern Relief Road needs to go ahead. And I only think they're all, Michael Savage and anybody in this council that's calling for this is doing is delaying the inevitable, so it is, it's going to happen without it, so it is, I believe, I tell you, we need to get the economic impact in and we'll all reap the benefits of it. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Just again, just to say your support for some of the previous speakers and the previous points made, certainly Councillor Savage and Councillor King's, and also the Councillor Finn's sort of eyeball report of the tall ships going in. I think it is, again, it's always been very important, and it will always be very important to have it navigable by tall ships. And again, that is, again, as we keep on saying, the sort of settled view of this council, and there's certainly no reason for us to detract from that, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, I speak as someone that certainly supports the concept of a lifting bridge, and, you know, I obviously see the benefits from an economic point of view regarding the maritime history of Northern of Newry and the potential to open the waterway that exists if something like that was required. But, you know, Councillor Hannah raises a valid point as well, and I've read through the correspondence here, obviously, and I've outlined a lot of the challenges that are present, both financial and infrastructural, in terms of dealing with the concept. And it's okay, fair enough, you know, listen, you can make calls for the Irish government to fund, you know, try and fund or assist to fund projects, but we also have to realise there's an ongoing maintenance of these roads as well that will cost our local budget money as the years go on. So we need to take all this, you know, in the mix whenever we're given consideration to this. And I know myself that the Southern Relief Road is a very important project for the economic prosperity of this area, and Warren Point Port is one example of that. I know from meeting with the port on occasions that they've outlined certainly the importance of getting this over the line and getting it moved on. And it's not just about the port. The port's an important, you know, component of that, because it's obviously a key economic driver in our area, but there's other, you know, benefits from it as well. So there will come a point where we will need to make a decision fairly soon on this as a council in terms of proceeding with it, because we can go back and forward on this But if we're not making any movement, there will come a crunch time for us as elected representatives as to where we go with it. And I just want to, you know, to say that here tonight, that we can't put this off in the long grass and hope that at some point we'll find a resolution to this issue. Because at the moment, the department seem to be pretty adamant as to where they are on it. Now, if a minister comes in the coming months, things may change and they may look at it from a different point of view. But listen, nobody knows where we are in that regard. So I would be concerned as well about a project of this nature, a project that we've been waiting on for many, many years, when we are making some progress on it, that there isn't any undue delays as a consequence of something. So if we could find a resolution to it all, that would be very good for everybody involved. But there is a lot of issues to overcome here, going by the correspondence that's been outlined by the Permanent Secretary. So it's something we're just going to have to be mindful about in the coming weeks and months as discussions take place. I look forward to the presentation that they're going to make and the opportunity for us to question the department on that. And once we get that over us, we'll probably have a better picture as to where we are. So just that comment really on this, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. And as you say, there will be room for people to come to the meeting with the EFA and make their feelings known. Councillor Finn, are you looking to comment?
Just in relation to the comments made by Councillors Hannah and Taylor, I think it is really important just to put on record that this isn't a matter of cause and delay, but I think as a representative for Newry, I've had more people say to me, I've had it mentioned to me on a number of occasions that everything needs to be done, and I think it's really vitally important to, in terms of, you know, looking at the historic preservation of the area, that we need to making sure that we aren't rubber stamping decisions that are coming through and that we're working for, particularly for myself, the people in the city that elected me. So just that's where I would like to put that on the record.
Are we all happy to move on? Yep. Item 11, response from Department of Education, re-notice of motion, school sports programmes. Could we have a proposer and seconder, please? Sorry. Only if there's comments. No comments. Item 12, response from Ulster University, notice of motion on university graduations. Any comments? Item 13, response, read the notice of motion on conversion therapy. Any comments? Item 14, response from the TEO, Permanent Secretary, read the notice of motion on Glebe House, Killeath. Any comments? Oh, sorry, Councillor Campbell.
No,
only after coming up there now, but sorry. It's only appeared, hasn't it?
Just before.
Yeah.
On which item?
Which item are you looking in on?
Both items, sure, if that's okay with yourself.
Okay.
On the motion of the school sports programme, we'll just like it noted. Sinn Féin's disappointment by the department's decision not to maintain funding for the school sports programmes. Children's health and wellbeing is being adversely impacted by the loss of this additional support. And this is yet another example of extreme budgetary cuts. It is increasingly evident that we need locally elected ministers and a functioning executive to set budgets and protect these services. Are you happy enough for me to comment on the Glebe House?
Yeah, go ahead.
Funding for our voluntary sector is becoming increasingly under pressure. The strain of budgetary restrictions is impacting the most vulnerable in our society, and organisations such as Glebe House that provide valued support must be maintained. We look forward to meeting with the Executive Office representatives around vital funding for our community and voluntary groups. The Sinn Féin will continue to support Glebe House to ensure they are adequately resourced. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Gilbreth.
Thanks, Chair. Just to echo Councillor Campbell's comments there, it is unfortunate that the Executive Office hasn't budged on their decision for Glebe House, and the fear of job loss has now become a reality for some of the staff out there. As much as the staff at Glebe do appreciate the support they received from Council here, it's just on this occasion that it wasn't enough, so it wasn't. But like I said, the staff at Glebe want to put on record that this is just another example of the impact of our non-functioning government here in the North. But they've also asked that I extend their gratitude and thanks to everybody who supported them over the last number of weeks. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gilbreth. Item 15, response from the Department for Infrastructure, read the notice of motion, electronic copies of valid insurance. Any comments? Yeah, but we have a proposer and seconder just to note. Items 9 to 15, please. Councillor Lee Surgener is proposing, or sorry, Councillor Hanlon is proposing, Councillor Lee Surgener is seconding. Thank you. Now we're going to go ahead with our motions. Item 16 is a notice of motion on homelessness. Before we go into the motion, for the reading of the motion from Councillor Truesdale, I would just like to apologise to Councillor Truesdale for the inaccuracy and not getting it put on the agenda. So I'll apologise once again. So I'd ask you to read your notice of motion, Councillor Truesdale. Let us know who seconded it, and it is going to be sent to Active and Healthy Communities.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
That this council notes that the number of households with homelessness status on the social housing waiting list across Northern Ireland has increased from 9,878 to 26,310 households in the last 10 years, an increase of 166%. Notes the enormous strain the homelessness system is under, with the number of households in temporary accommodation at unprecedented levels, agrees that this council has a role to play in preventing homelessness in this district, alongside other organisations and bodies in the public, statutory and voluntary sectors, calls on this council to assess how it contributes to homelessness prevention through carrying out an audit of its services and requests that officers bring back a report detailing the homelessness prevention work currently supported, as well as how the council's community planning function can further support homelessness prevention work in the local area. And it's Councillor McMurray.
Thank you very much, Councillor Truesdale. That will go to AHC.
Thank
Item
you.
17 is a notice of motion on Newry City Park funding application. The motion is received from Councillor Lee Surgener. So if you could, the motion will be passed to SPNR. If you could read the motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I begin, can I seek clarity from council officers, understanding words for what happens if a time-bound motion, a one in relation to a funding bid with a fixed deadline, is deferred to be heard past the deadline date?
Councillor Lee Surgener, I have asked that Mr. Mallon will give us a verbal update once you have read your motion, and let us know who's seconding.
All right, thank you so much. It'll be Councillor Enright that will be seconding the motion. And also I'd like to make a slight amendment to the motion to ensure it is compliant with the funding criteria, basically noting the council has failed to deliver on previously agreed motions to submit funding bids for the Newry City Park to the Levelling Up and Shared Island Fund. Council will now urgently prepare a capital funding bid to the Peace Plus programme for the remainder of funding required to complete all phases of the project and deliver the world-class park as promised to ratepayers, and for full council to approve this motion as deadline for this application is Thursday, the 7th of September 2023, 5 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you inform us on who is going to second your motion, please?
Oh, Councillor Logan Emmerich.
The motion will be sent to SPNR, but I have requested that Director Mallon will give us a verbal update, please.
Thanks, Chair. Just an update on phase one of the park. The OBC has been completed and submitted to the Department for Communities. I attended and presented to the Casework Committee of DFC on the 3rd of July past. I received confirmation on the 5th of July that the casework committee had approved the presentation and the OBC submission. That was subsequently approved by the DFC Permanent Secretary on the 6th of July and has been forwarded to the Department of Finance for consideration and approval for the release of the funding for Phase 1.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Connor. Item 18, a notice of motion on back to school costs from Councillor McAvoy. This will be heard at full council.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Asa Fennigan is seconding my motion. So that this council notes the findings of the 2023 Irish League of Credit Unions survey on back to school costs, which show 41% of parents in this jurisdiction go into debt due to back-to-school costs, with the largest expense for both primary and secondary school parents being uniforms. It is deeply concerned that the high cost of some school uniforms is a source of financial stress for many families, impacting their health and well-being. Acknowledges that the positive attributes of school uniforms, such as promoting equality amongst pupils, is at risk of being undermined by unaffordable costs, and calls for the urgent restoration of the Assembly and Executive so that legislation can be brought forward that will require schools to have a competitive tender process, removes requirements for expensive branded items and permits the use of cheaper high street alternatives. Workers and families are already struggling with the cost of living, with fuel costs, electricity bills and mortgage interest rates, and now in the days and weeks ahead, families will be faced with the soaring back-to-school costs. This latest survey on back-to-school costs from the Irish League of Credit Unions found that parents can expect to spend £837 per primary school child, a rise of £81 from last year, and £989 per secondary child, an increase of £163 on last year's costings. Research commissioned by the Irish League of Credit Unions in 2020 found that one-third of parents are plunged into debt each year when buying school uniforms. The average debt encountered by parents when buying uniforms was £222, and that was a £30 increase on the average debt from 2019. Its poll of parents shows 78% are already feeling the financial burden of the back-to-school bill, a rise from 72% from a year ago. The ILCU stated that the 2023 survey shows that parents continue to feel a considerable financial burden, educating their children as costs continue to rise. Given the cost of living crisis, this is no surprise. However, it's extremely concerning that 20% of parents say they sacrifice spending on food to cover these costs. Uniforms are the top expense for parents, followed by lunches, extracurricular activities, transport and books. The Children's Society research found that that were branded items or specific suppliers were stipulated by school. This increased cost by an average of 50%. Branded items in the North are now the norm, and most schools require bespoke blazers from limited suppliers. In the North, the cost of uniforms remain high. In England and Wales, there has been an attempt to deal with the cost through statutory intervention. If parents are failing or falling into significant debt year on year to buy school uniforms, it is clear that the current system of voluntary guidance is not working. There has already been alternative remedies exhausted, such as the support afforded by the uniform grant, which is helpful, but the rate hasn't been increased to keep pace with the inflation over the years, nor does it support working families. In autumn 2021, the Education Minister announced that a review would take place into the eligibility criteria and thresholds for free school meals and uniform grants. There has been no update in terms of this review. The style, type and functionality of school uniforms has changed very little in the last 50 years. The only major change to uniform policy over the past few years is the increase in mandatory branded sportswear and the use of limited suppliers. Current guidance surrounding uniform policy is not on a statutory footing, therefore there is nothing to compel relevant bodies to adhere to it. We need to introduce statutory guidance requiring schools to have a competitive tendering process to remove the requirement for branded items and to permit the use of cheaper, sustainable high street alternatives. This legislation objective of this proposal are to put guidance on uniform affordability on a statutory footing within the Department of Education. Thank you.
Councillor Finnegan, you're seconding the motion. Do you wish to speak?
Yes, just quickly. I just want to stress the importance of this very important motion. Leanne is correct in saying that the pressures the parents are under with the cost of living has left them struggling, let alone paying upwards of £800 and £900 for school uniforms. I see it every day with constituents in the office. They're crying out for help in this matter. But also as a mother, I can understand the pressures of getting uniforms this time of year. I've had feedback actually from parents and carers expressing their disappointment last year when the child had expressions of disapproval from teachers for not wearing the PE uniform on the day allocated, when the child simply didn't have it in September because their parents just couldn't afford it. I understand that there is help in place for people who are on means tested benefit, although there is limitations to this, and this is not afforded to those outside that criteria. So as a councillor and a mother, I would urge that the DUP end the blockade to the executive and stop holding up this important work, and we get this motion passed. So thank you.
Okay. Councillor Byrne.
Councillor Bowes is before me, Chair.
We support the spirit of this motion. The DUP has urged the government to remove VAT on school-specific uniform items, and uniform costs are becoming extortionate, especially with the tax on parents and those with school-aged children. The cost of school uniform items can be extortionate and unaffordable, with post-primary uniform costs on an average of £378 per pupil, with many families obviously having multiple children. School uniforms are like a tax on people, and they cause both financial difficulties and unnecessary concern to many families across Northern Ireland, with one-third of parents getting into debt each year when buying school uniforms. Schools also have a duty not to allow monopolies to develop. They should not be instructing parents to only buy from a specific supplier or a certain brand, and thereby giving suppliers the ability to demand higher prices for school uniforms. The price of school-specific uniforms should not become a barrier for children to attend the school of their choice. Currently under VAT rules, school uniforms for young children who are less than 14 years of age attract a zero rate of VAT. On the 6th of July, DUP Sammy Wilson MP tabled a question to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, whether he plans to remove VAT on school-specific uniforms in the UK. In his response, the Chancellor stated that there are no current plans to extend the existing zero rate. The DUP is urging the government to recognise the extortionate price of school uniform and to implement an extension of the zero rate, or to introduce a price cap on the price of school-specific uniforms to support our families and children within Northern Ireland and the UK. With that being said, I'm sure you won't be surprised that there's a sentence in the motion that we couldn't support, the sentence which reads, calls the urgent restoration of the Assembly and Executive so that the legislation can be brought forward with that will require schools to have competitive tendering processes. I propose the following amendment to that sentence: calls for legislation to be brought forward that will require schools to have a competitive tendering processes, and leaving the rest of the motion as it is. I think it would be good to see unanimous support on this important issue. As I say, we support the spirit of this motion, but couldn't support the motion as it currently reads. Thank you.
Councillor McAvoy.
I can Councillor Bosie just repeat what it is that he wants to.
Yeah, so the sentence it reads, calls for urgent restoration of the Assembly and the Executive so that legislation can be brought forward that will require schools to have competitive tendering processes. So really just taking out the urgent restoration of the Assembly and the Executive and leaving the rest of the sentence. So it would read, calls for legislation to be brought forward that will require schools to have competitive tendering processes. So still agreeing with the premise of what's being demanded, just not the method.
No, sorry, we're not in agreement, because we can't bring legislation without the Assembly and the Executive restored. So apologies, I would rather leave it as it sits.
Councillor Byrne.
Chair, I'm happy to second this proposal.
Yeah, have to deal. We would have to deal with the First Amendment first.
Yep.
Yep.
So.
So we do a roll call.
I just confirm this is for the amendment.
Yeah.
In favor of the amendment.
Yes, we're going to take a roll call vote on the amendment. So we have Councillor Andrews.
Against.
Councillor Bozet.
For.
Councillor Brennan. An apology. Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
Against. Can someone call for a recorded vote, shouldn't it? A show of hands be enough?
It's a roll call. Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
Against.
Councillor Galbraith?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons?
Against.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Harch?
Against.
Councillor Hoyle? It's an apology. Councillor Jackson is absent. Councillor Cairns?
Against.
Councillor Kelly?
Against.
Councillor King?
Against.
Councillor Larkin?
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Against.
Councillor Lewis is absent. Councillor McGuinness? An apology. Councillor Mallers?
Against.
Councillor McAteer?
Against.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McMurray? Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy is an apology, as is Councillor K. Murphy. Councillor S. Murphy, please. Against. Councillor Quinn? Yes. Councillor Riley?
Over.
Councillor Rice?
Against.
Councillor Rann?
Against.
Councillor Savage is gone. Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor? Councillor Tinley is gone. And Councillor Truesdale?
Against.
3-4, 28 against and 1 abstention. The amendment falls. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Firstly, I want to thank Leanne, Councillor McAvoy, for taking the motion. I think it's an excellent motion. But see, when we go through the previous correspondence, I think there's 7 or 8 items of correspondence, when we're constantly bringing issues that are pertinent to the people that we represent to the only form of government that's actually sitting in local government here and writing to the relevant body, we'll get these holding letters back that say there's nothing we can do because we need to have an assembly and an executive formed. And it galls me that every time we take these motions, we can say that we believe in the sentiment of the motion, but can we remove the line that makes me feel uncomfortable? No. We're at the stage now where you should be uncomfortable with that line being in because we, as a devolved assembly or a devolved region, are not in line with other devolved regions who are actually tackling all these issues, really important issues that affect every single family out there. And Leanne went through some of the stats, and it is shocking. And it's not about, you know, just having a competitive tendering process. It's about getting in line with Scotland and Wales. We have between 35 and 56 pounds per pupil that they can apply for school uniform grants. And that it depends on whether it's primary or post-primary and depends on their age. Over 15, I think, is the highest rate of £56. Scotland's 100. Wales is 200. And then they have, obviously, you were talking to Leanne there about the statutory intervention, of which it was going to amend it into the motion, but you had it in the body of what you said, so we'll leave the motion as is. Wales have that school uniform guidance as statutory. That means that is they must make all reasonable attempts to keep the cost of school uniforms down. That's what we should be doing as an executive here. We should be getting ourselves in line with the other devolved assemblies. It's not good enough that we have schemes put in place, as admirable as they are. You know, I know the Council of Ayrshop in Belfast has the swap shop in Foodstock and Paul Doherty.
and he's swamped. I was reading an article on Belfast Live about the amount of families that are going there because of the increased costs. As admirable as that is, that should not be a solution for this issue. We need a central solution, and the only way to get a central solution is to get everybody back in around the table and make decisions that are in the best interest of the people here. Finally, I went to an event as part of Belfast Pride, and one of the unionist politicians on the stage said, what we need here is 3 to 4 years of dull, boring government where we just make decisions and people's lives get better. And I wish we would get to that instead of trying to amend every motion so that we go out and save face and not think about the families out there who are struggling. So excellent motion, and happy that the SDLP will be supporting fully.
Thanks, Sir Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. And thanks for Councillor McAvoy for bringing the motion forward. I suppose, you know, some of the detail that obviously was outlined, but Councillor McAvoy is very stark in terms of the pressures that are faced by families at this period of time when they are trying to obviously find the necessary finance to cover the costs associated with school uniforms. And probably, I know myself, probably now as a father, you know, and my son started school last year, you don't really appreciate until you see the cost associated with it, how, you know, much of an impact it can have on families, particularly with the other issues that, you know, families endure at this stage regarding fuel costs, energy costs, and all, even food costs. You know, it's all come at once, really, and that's obviously having an impact, and that's the cost of living crisis that we're enduring at this moment. And, you know, and again, I've seen it this from personal experience. One uniform isn't enough for any child. Well, I seen my own child last year going through 3 uniforms in a week. You know, and it's, well, he's a messy child. He's enjoying nursery. And if his mother hears me saying this in a public forum, I'll probably be in trouble when I get home. But anyway, I'll have to anyway. So, but listen, I've seen it myself, you know, how many uniforms can go through in a week. And for any family to have to endure that and have to endure that cost, it's very, you know, very damning. It's very stark for any family to have to cope with that. So, you know, the reality is we do need an executive and an assembly in place to deal with these issues, because they have the legislative authority to deal with the problems that are outlined in this motion. And, you know, at this period in time, unfortunately, we're over the next number of weeks, schools will start back in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and there won't be anything done in time for this year, unfortunately, I don't believe. But we do need to find a way that we can alleviate the costs that parents endure at this time of year, because it's a school, and it's important that every child gets an education and every child has an equal opportunity in education. And we don't want in our society to see any detriment that impacts on that. So as elected representatives, as a society, we need to do everything we can to ensure that parents have every availability to ensure that their child has an equal chance in education, and school uniforms are one component of that. There's obviously ways that schools can look at that themselves in terms of, as already been outlined, about making sure that there's enough competition out there, that people can, you know, have some competitiveness in terms of the options available with the cost of uniforms. But as a Department of Education, if they can do anything at all to try and alleviate that and look at other examples in the devolved nations, we should try and do that. But again, as the motion outlines, we need an assembly and an executive in place to deal with that. So thanks, Councillor McAvoy, for bringing forward the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to reassure Mrs. Taylor that any time George does appear on outward-facing photographs, he's a very well-turned-out young man, so he is. So just to do it safe for you to go home, Davey, to be honest with you. No, but seriously, again, as a parent who's gone out to buy uniforms for my own child who's transferring in the big school, as you say, it's shocking, and I make no qualms. I'm not proud to say that. I'm still glad that the grandmother goes out to buy them shoes in September, at the start of September, because pity as it is, every little helps. And again, I made sure that the blazer was 2 sizes too big for her to make sure she got a bit of wearing out of it. And again, it's deadly serious. It's not it's not something to throw about, because it is. And again, certainly hand-me-down sports uniforms as well are super important and stuff like that. So it's all these are the real pressures that I'm disclosing to you. So that's all right. That's all good. But certainly, And I'm quite as we voted as well, that amendment was never going to fly. You know, we need this, we need the executive up and running. Anything which prevents that, and this is just one of the issues that this is preventing, it needs up and running, and it, as uncomfortable as it is for some parties here, maybe it's not uncomfortable at all, I don't know, but it really, it's shocking, it's not right, and it's obviously holding things up all across the board, so I'm happy to support the motion as it stood. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Hannah.
Thank you, Chair. Leanne, you have a good motion there, so you have. I can fully understand it there, although I did things to mitigate it, so I did. I managed that 3 years in a row in Inaboy. So the stuff was handed right down through, so it was, so I was looking ahead, so it was all the time. But there is massive problems there with, and as Callum has outlined in our position, so it is. Families are in a challenging position there, but it's so disappointing to see everybody trying to turn this round into a DUP bashing session, so it is. Sinn Féin have a very short memory. To use their word, they talked about austerity. They kept storming out, so they did, for 3 years, so they did. And there was austerity then, so there was all these problems with her at the same time, so they were. So Sinn Féin, you know, shouldn't be throwing any stones at all, so they shouldn't, because they kept storming out for 3 full years, so they did. And we are in challenging situations here at the moment there with interest rates, families. I hear Deanne talking about it at times, it's £14, I don't know, maybe for just school dinners for the week. And schools now, Deanne has 3 schools that she has, and I know my other daughter Deborah has 2, and my other daughter Grace has 2 at school too. So £14, you imagine that there for 3 at school. So It is expensive to have children there, so it is, and to look after them, and then everything else you need for buy that. So, it is. So school uniforms are a massive expense, it is. So just on that there, I would encourage us all to remember something. The DUP has a perception, so they have, and the things that's important to themselves, so they have. And you've had to respect why we're doing what we're doing at the moment. We agree with everything that's been said here tonight, so we do, but you do have to respect our position as well. Sinn Féin took a stance on their issues, so that we have took a stance on ours, but we would like to see storming up and running, but in the right situation, so we do. So that is our position, Chair.
Councillor Riley.
Yes, Madam Chair. Very, very good notice of motion, and it's just a pity that it was or has been politicised in such a blatant fashion and used to try and damage the DUP position. And I would point out that if the protocol was implemented in the way that the SDLP, the Alliance and Sinn Féin wanted it, the price of clothing would increase by 25-30%. And it's very, very important that we try to get the best possible deal for the consumer in Northern Ireland, and that means having as few restrictions on trade with the UK mainland as possible, and that's what we're trying to achieve. But on the issue of uniforms, you know, sometimes it's almost like the Celtic and Rangers, where they change the shirts every year to try and make sure that people feel compelled to go buy out and buy the latest shirt to keep up to date. I've actually seen that with school badges being changed just to put pressure on people not to hand down uniforms and to get the most latest and up to date to make sure that their child feels part of the clique. And that's really an unfortunate way for a school to behave. And I just can't understand the price of these uniforms. The prices that Leanne has mentioned, they are staggering. My kids are all out of school and all their grandchildren are not in school yet, but it's just unbelievable that those are the costs involved. And definitely if there's anything that can be done, it should be done. But I'm just disappointed that Leanne politicised it and destroyed it, what was a good motion. Thank you.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, like I'd have to agree with Pete in terms of the comment he made that we need a couple of really boring years of
passing legislation. I think it's a bit disingenuous, Glenn, for you to say that we held Stormont out and it was the same situation, because it's absolutely not. Sinn Féin brought the government down because of equality. We were happy enough to go back in this, and we passed legislation to bait the band, and we all worked together. This protocol issue, if you're looking at news reports, you don't even know and can't even agree on what you're actually out for at the minute. You know, so we have to realise we are in a cost of living crisis. We haven't seen anything of this magnitude in long and many a day. And we only look at all the correspondence and the motions coming through council. And if you went out and you spoke to an NHS worker and told them, oh, it's just the same, I think they'd beg to differ. When we look at waiting lists, we look at housing crisis, we look at vulnerable people, mental health. I could go on all night, but I'll not. But I just think you're being disingenuous and making the same issue. But Leanne is right in what she's saying. We need a functioning government. And for Councillor Bowsey to say, yeah, we'll take that bit out, but we'll ask for legislation change, it's totally contradicting itself. We have to have a functioning government there to get this information into the government, get it passed through legislation, and just get back to what we all should be doing. Because council shouldn't even have to be debating things like this at the end of the day. But it's the only forum we have at the minute to be able to get the message out that we're supporting workers and families.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Is everyone... Oh, sorry, Leanne.
Yeah, just... I don't have much. Thank you. Look, I thank the other parties that are in support of my motion. So I do... there's a need to introduce measures to make school uniforms more affordable. The cost of school uniforms is the primary expense for families. As well as that, more than half of parents said that having children home over the holidays will put them under added financial pressure, particularly in terms of grocery and utility costs. This emphasises the impact the removal of the holiday hunger payment will have had on the disadvantaged households. And Sinn Féin wants to legislate to make uniforms more affordable for all families and reinstate vital holiday hunger payments to the tens of thousands of families who rely on it. Children, families in our school need the Assembly and its executive form now so that the parties can work together to protect our public services and progress legislation to help cut back school costs for families. Thank you.
Can we just ask if everyone is in agreement? We have to ask for a roll call, please.
Alice? Yeah. Okay, so it's roll call vote. Councillor Andrews?
In favour.
With people online, we need to do a roll call vote. Okay, Councillor Andrews?
Yes, in favour.
Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Byrne?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Finn?
Four.
Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Galbraith?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Hiles away. Councillor Jackson? Councillor Cairns?
Four.
Councillor Kelly? Sorry, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Kelly, you're maybe mute. Okay, I'll move on. Okay, Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
No. Sorry. Four.
Sorry, Councillor Kelly. Sorry, just to clarify for the record, is that Councillor Kelly?
Breaking up,
okay. Councillor Lee Surgener?
Four.
Councillor Lewis is away, Councillor McGuinness is absent. Councillor Mallers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McMurray? Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor S. Murphy? Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley?
Again.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Rowan?
Four.
Councillor Savage is away. Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tennelly is away. Councillor Truesdale? 29-4 and 3 against. The motion's carried. Yeah, yeah. I've got that part. Thank you. Item 19, a notice of motion on young carers. The motion will be heard at full council and has been brought by Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. So just in terms of the wording that's before you all, noting that there are currently over 220,000 unpaid carers across the north, recognising the essential role that young carers in particular play within the community, expresses concern that during holiday periods, such carers can face increased stress, loneliness and isolation, and further noting that unpaid carers save the government an estimated £1 million per year. This council agrees to write to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health, calling for increased financial support for these unpaid carers to be used for respite, residential breaks or recreation for their health and well-being. Chair, Councillor Andrews is going to speak to it, but I'll just go on ahead and speak to the motion itself. So as we all know, carers in general are an essential part of our social care system, but their role is often undervalued and unappreciated by government. There are approximately 8,000 young people in Northern Ireland who undertake unpaid caring roles, with the latest census showing 2,600 of them are under 15. So 2,600 children under the age of 15 are caring for someone. Now, they might be caring for their parents, their siblings or other family members. However, during the summer and other holiday periods, they can feel really isolated and actually face burnout. They miss the routine and structure of the school day and seeing their friends. But during summer periods, they are needed more by the family unit, whether that is caring for a sibling who would usually be at school or daycare or assisting with elderly parents. So whenever we compare that, you know, other teenagers or children their age are maybe having lazy mornings, meeting up with friends and generally unwinding after the school year. But for young carers, life can be so very, very different. And this is often magnified over the summer break when they get little or no time away from their family unit. When a child is unwell or has additional needs, for example, the family unit often revolves around them and their day-to-day life activities, days out, trips away, if they're even an option, can all be dependent upon that one person and other family members take a back seat, which is totally understandable. But government must recognise this and understand that these children often give up a significant chunk of their own childhood whilst caring for a loved one. A recent report from Action for Children and the Carers Trust found 86% of young carers were more stressed or worried during the summer holidays than during term time. And there was actually 260 young carers in the South Eastern Belfast and Southern Trust who needed increased support during this time of year. So I suppose that's a lot of additional pressure on those young shoulders. These young people need a break too, or it can lead to total burnout on down the line. There's some amazing organisations such as Barnardos NI and Action for Children who really do incredible work across these islands to support carers. And then I suppose more local to me, we've organisations such as the ADHD Hub, Unity, Unity Stars, all doing their utmost to support carers and young people. They recognise and know the challenges that are out there and they never forget those with the caring responsibilities. They understand the needs of those suffering, but also doing their best in that vital supporting role. But all of this should not come down to a charity. The above organisations have hosted many superb events and activities in recent months, ranging from Heat and Eat, a carer's cook-along and Beat the Blues. But I feel that the voluntary and charitable sector is absolutely plugging the glaring hole that exists. This group of carer is often hidden and actually saves the government over £1 million per year as they're too young to claim carer's allowance. So at the very least, government must recognise this financial saving and look at ways to reward these young carers. It's vital that they get sufficient respite and breaks to ensure that they have the physical and emotional wellness to continue caring for that loved one into the future. Now, I've just mentioned a few organisations, Chair. I know right across the board we have many that offer support, but it's mainly from the voluntary sector. And we all know the pressures that that sector is under at present with the financial climate. So this issue is so much more than people think. Not wanting to rehash the last debate at all, but it's one absolutely for a local minister to be listening and acting upon sooner rather than later, Chair. Thank you. And if Councillor Andrews is seconding it.
I do indeed, Chair. Thank you very much. I'm happy to support this worthy motion and it's called to seek and secure a fair deal for so many of our unsung heroes, the carers, who provide and do so much sterling work
for so many people in our district and right across the other 10 council areas. And I do support the ethos which this motion is tabled, and also ask that the motion, if when adopted, that it be circulated to the other 10 councils to seek their support also in writing to the Perm Sec at Department of Health. So I'm only too happy to second this worthy motion and ask that it be circulated to the other 10 councils for their action to write as well. Thank you.
That'll be noted, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Cairns.
Mr. Chair, thank you. The number of people caring for their loved ones working long hours unpaid is deeply concerning and impacting their health and wellbeing. Families are badly in need of support as our health service is facing huge challenges due to the lack of resources and understaffing. This needs to be urgently addressed. Families and health workers need a health minister in place and an executive working together to invest in the health service, to hire more staff, deliver more care packages and tackle weightiness now. More than a quarter of a million of people in the north have suffered negative impacts on their health as a result of providing unpaid care for a sick or disabled member. The latest research shows almost one in three unpaid carers said supporting their loved ones led to negative effects on their health and well-being. 27% of people who provided unpaid care have found that their relationships with friends and family have suffered due to their caring role. Nearly a quarter stating unpaid caring had affected their jobs or ability to work. Unpaid carers need regular access to respite and greater provision of social care packages to give unpaid carers a break and help them protect from exhaustion and burnout. Unpaid carers are forced to sacrifice their own well-being every day at the price of supporting their loved ones. We can't keep asking unpaid carers to prop up the health service and provide hundreds of thousands of hours of free care every week with little to no support in return. Carers need regular access to respite, high-quality social care packages and a health service that treats their needs as a priority. Care NI estimates that unpaid carers save our health service more than $4.5 billion in costs per year. We also need additional funding for social care to address delays in discharging patients from hospital, and this would enable more patients to be discharged from hospitals and free up beds for those who need immediate hospital care.
Thank you, Councillor Cairns. Councillor Truesdale.
Yeah, absolutely 100% behind this motion. It's an excellent motion. But I would like to propose an amendment to the motion. And the reason for the amendment is as follows. The 4 million support for carers fund was launched by the former health minister in April 2021 to help community and voluntary organisations with charitable purposes offering support to carers. In total, 100 projects have received awards from the fund. On the 3rd of August 2023, the Department of Health has announced the allocation of more than $1.6 million in the fourth and final round of grants from the Support for Carers Fund. So as Councillor Byrne alluded to, we are writing a letter and there'll be a holding letter comes back and then we're stuck. So I think it's up to this council to take a much more proactive approach. And I would like an amendment in to say, and for this council to investigate running consistent care-specific schemes within the district, either online, in-person or hybrid.
Councillor Devlin, do you wish to accept the amendment?
Yeah, I can maybe just ask Connor, obviously that's not a statutory function of council. Are we able to do that? I just consciously don't want to be wasting time. Is that something that's within our gift to do? If it is, absolutely brilliant. But if it's not, can you maybe clarify?
It's probably something that we're not fully responsible for. It's not something that we deliver as part of our statutory function. It would be a new function that we would be asked to introduce. And without further detail and further assessment of what that entails, it would be difficult to, I think, make a decision and make it a commitment on behalf of council just on the basis of the amendment presented at this time without further consideration.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's a good suggestion, Councillor Treasel. So maybe perhaps if Council can maybe investigate that and report back to Strategic Finance Working Group on that element of it, and maybe not encompass it into this motion, so we can go ahead and write to the department on this one and maybe do that in parallel, if that's okay, Jill. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. And again, thanks to Laura for being forward this motion. It's a very good, it's an excellent motion, actually. I think over the years, you know, as a representative, you've dealt with issues, you know, in terms of families maybe would have had issues with respite and residential, you know, support. Maybe they've encountered difficulties with a trust, as an example. And you've been making representations on their behalf to support them in that regard. And I think probably at that stage, you see how much and how important these small gestures are in terms of, you know, and it's as much for their health and well-being as was outlined in this motion as it is for anybody else's, because caring for a loved one is a very intense role that anybody endures, and particularly when it's unpaid, and even those that are paid very little really for the role that they do and the pressure that takes off the government system. So as is, again, anything that we can do to try and assist any family in that situation, you know, we as a government, we should do that. So I think if the Department of Health, you know, could look at increasing financial support, and whilst, again, we're conscious of budgetary constraints, on issues like this, we should try and stretch ourselves, because it is important that those that provide that vital support to any family member, that they're given that necessary care as well. It's important for our society, it's important for everybody involved that they're given that support. So I hope that the department will look on this request favourably. And whilst we don't have the Assembly and Executive in place, I would like to think that the Permanent Secretary would look at all options available to ensure that this can come to fruition, that they can look at increasing the level of support that's provided. But thanks, Laura, for bringing this forward. It's a very worthy motion, so hope everybody will support it.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Devon, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody who's spoken in support of the motion. It's a strong issue. I think if anybody that has a care in the family, particularly a young care, it's one that's very close to people's hearts. So if we can get that letter sent off, that would be very much appreciated. And then obviously running parallel to that, something through the Strategic Projects Working Group in terms of the suggestion that Jill made would be really good as well. Thank you, Chair.
Is everyone in agreement? Item 20, the notice of motion on recycling. The motion will be taken by Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Thank you for referring it. This motion is noting with concern estimations that while 9 in 10 people in the north recycle at home, only 4 in 10 recycle while outdoors. Further notes with concern, DERA, which is part of Agriculture and Rural Affairs, estimates that consumers in the north use 420 million plastic bottles and 90 million cans every year, and welcomes that across the north, successful Hubbub Circle City programme, which is run across the UK and these islands, has seen an additional 2.5 million plastic bottles, glass bottles and cans recycled while outdoors. This council agrees that more work is needed across our district to encourage recycling while outdoors. We'll seek a meeting with Hubbub to recommend Urriemore and Down for a similar Circle City scheme. We'll undertake an education programme for district residents on the benefits of outdoor recycling, and will commence a pilot scheme for new recycling bins to be installed across key public spaces and parks. Thank you, Chair, and my motion will be seconded by Councillor Finn.
This motion, Councillor McAteer, will be referred to our Sustainability and Environment Committee. Thank you, everyone, and safe home.
Oh.